Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
John Heyman is brought to you by Sport Clips. You watch sports, we cut hair. It's perfect Sports Clips. It's good to be a guy. Obviously, great to be John Heyman. By Merrick Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram, and by Brothers Supply, your number one source for ice air, P-Tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils. The man, the myth, the legend. John Heyman. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Not as good as you because you're in Florida, right?
Yeah, no snow coming here.
No. I get that.
Look at the weather report, but I'm going to assume.
Yeah, I feel confident, John.
And I guess a few years ago they started naming these winter storms. So coincidentally, the winter storm is named Harper of all names.
Is that the name of this storm?
Yeah.
Harper?
Winter Storm Harper. Gotta love that. 8 to 12 inches, John. 8 to 12 inches.
And then Monday, I think it's going to be a high of 12.
Oh, my goodness. I feel for you guys.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you'll feel as you, put your feet up when it's 75 degrees out, right?
I think it's closer to 70.
Sorry to hear it.
John, maybe it's in a few years, maybe it's next week, when do you think the owners will be exposed for obvious collusion?
You know, I work at MLB Network, right?
Something's going on, though, John. I mean, let's be honest about it. Something's happening here.
It's been very slow, I'll say that. Their take on it is these guys were asking for too much, and that's why teams did other things. It's a little shocking, and I don't know that there's an end in sight. You know, I guess somebody could jump up, but it looks like we've got to wait on our hands still for these two guys.
So do you believe your colleague, Buster Olney? Let me rephrase that, because I don't think Buster Olney ever did anything wrong. I think what Lozano, I'm sorry. Mr. Lozano, I apologize. He may be the GM of my, God knows what team next, so I don't want to go too nuts.
Maybe the Jets. McCagney gets fired.
Right. He'll jump sports.
Lozano will not be a GM, I can guarantee that.
What would you have said about Brody last year?
I believe that one.
All right. He was more saying somebody's out to try to damage Manny Machado by leaking that. Do you believe that offer from the White Sox that leaked out yesterday is legitimately the biggest offer out there for Manny Machado?
No. I mean, Dan Lozano has a sketchy reputation, and he's not always a truth teller. I mean, he pretended he was Italian for 20 years to fool Mike Piazza's father. So, this is a guy who claimed he...
Hold on. What happened?
Well, he pretended he was Italian. Dan Lozano, he's of Mexican heritage, but he pretended he's Italian so he could get Mike Piazza as a client. Had him for 20 years. Mike Piazza finally woke up and changed. I mean, I don't know if that's the reason, but he now has a different
name. Wait a minute. So Lozano tried to say, because it is an Italian last name, so Lozano tried to...
Well, it's a Mexican name also.
Well, no, obviously, but I mean, you could certainly get like... But I'm saying he could certainly get away with it being an Italian last name.
So yeah, he
basically... He had told Mike Piazza he was Italian, and for 20 years, Piazza thought he was Italian.
I don't know if Piazza believed it. I mean, but Mike is a very bright guy. But, Piazza has had limited contact with the agent, and I think, probably Mike went along with that story to appease him because Dan was his buddy. So, Lozano's got a history of issues. He claimed he graduated from USC, claimed he was a baseball player. None of that's true. However, in this case, I'm sure he's telling the truth.
So let's go back to this because this is very interesting.
Yeah,
so Lozano claimed that he was Italian when he was really Mexican, Mexican heritage. He claimed he played baseball at USC, and that wasn't true.
Not true.
I mean, what, God.
Well, agenting, you don't have to have a college degree.
Is he going to, run for the Senate next or something?
I was just about to say that. He's perfectly qualified.
He's in. Let's go.
He's an excellent BSer. He got $240 million for Pujols, $225 for Votto. I mean,
Did he claim to serve in Vietnam or something like that,
too? Oh, my God. Yeah, right.
So,
yeah, we know what it is.
He's younger than I am, so I don't think he served in Vietnam.
Well, I listen sometimes. It doesn't have to make sense.
You know, obviously, I mean, he's telling the truth. I mean, I heard this, that it was, that was inaccurate, and I tweeted it, and then an hour later, he said that
Wait, hold on. So you're saying Lozano is, like, sarcasm aside, you're saying he's being truthful right now, that
I believe that that is not the offer, yeah.
Okay, what is the offer?
I reported that, I don't know, about 50 minutes before he issued his statement that it was untrue.
What's the offer?
If I were to... I mean, educated guess, it's probably in the 225 range.
From who? The White Sox?
The White Sox,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So the White Sox have the biggest outstanding offer right now for Manny Machado.
You know, the Phillies are involved. I'm not 100% sure that their offer is higher. So, you know, 50-50. Yeah. I don't know. And, you know, Lozano did claim there's a mystery team to somebody.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that. They always do that, and there's really no team.
Yeah. Well, it could be teams that are calling and seeing that he's not going to get the $325 million, and they're calling late to see, you know, if there's a bargain. You know, they're kind of bottom feeding. So, you know, there could be teams that are kind of, you know, edging around, thinking about it. And to be fair, I think the Angels were a mystery team for Pujols, at least until the last day or so. So, you know, there are at times mystery teams.
But who benefits from leaking this untrue contract offer out? I was trying to figure that out, because whenever there's
leaks... I don't know. You know, he claimed that it was something nefarious going on, and you know, I understand this is a slow winter, things aren't going exactly as planned. You certainly can have that thought. You guys have that thought. A lot of people have that thought. But you know, we're all digging. We're all trying to find. And sometimes people think they know something or heard something, and I think it was just misinformation. I don't think that it behooved the White Sox to say that because after that came out, everybody was trashing the White Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf for making a ridiculously low offer. So I don't think they purposely leaked it. I don't think it serves them a purpose, but it does do a disservice to the player and the agent to have a false low number out there.
Do you, because Evan has mentioned this a couple times, when the next collective bargaining agreement, what year is it, 2022, 2021?
Yeah, two more years we got.
Can you see a potential work stoppage?
Because
I could.
That things aren't going well. You know, obviously they did the CBA, and I think the owners did quite well, almost too well. But I do think there's some, you know, some teams are using that luxury tax threshold as an excuse. I mean, there's no reason the Cubs have to stay below. Now it's up to 206. So it's not that low now. I mean, it's up from 197 last year. So it's up $9 million. But the Cubs, you know, they're printing money. There's no reason they need to stay below. And certainly that's true of the Dodgers as well. So you know, teams may be using it as a crutch to try to help their profits. But It wasn't an agreement that helped the players. That's the way it looks right now. So they're gonna negotiate a little bit harder 2 years from now, and there could be a strike. I do think so.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the players, there's a couple of things I'd be fighting for. First, I'd be fighting for a salary floor. If there's going to be a luxury tax at the top, I'd want something on the floor to ensure these teams spend more. And I'd probably try to get to free agency quicker. I think that would certainly benefit these guys, because. And I get why GMs would stay away from the 30-year-old free agent. I totally get it. It's like Albert Pujols. You're paying for what a guy's done, right, not what they're going to do. So my counter, if I'm Tony Clark, would be, okay, you're right. Then I want my guys getting access to free agency when they're younger. It isn't fair that their ultimate big payday is when they're 30, 31, and you guys don't even want to pay them when they get there.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a consideration. I think that would be a big benefit to the players to get there sooner. The floor, the union has not been in favor of the floor. They don't like any constraints either way. And we don't have a cap now. We just have a tax.
No, but we have a tax. I would force
the
teams to pay a tax.
They're using their taxes. Many teams are using it like a cap.
Exactly.
Only two teams went over. And the tax is not that onerous, really. I mean, you know, the Nats have been over twice in a row, and so they're in a little bit tougher tax situation than some others, but, you know, it's not crazy. It's like 50% on the first $20 million over, and it's only tax on the overage. It's not tax on the whole thing, of course. So tax on the overage, 50%. So if they go over 206 to 226, they're just taxed 50% of that $10 million, so $5 million. You know, and there aren't too many teams are going to go past 226. There's teams other than the Red Sox, everybody's well below that. So it's not that much money. It seems to be a crutch to me or an excuse more than anything. So I do think these teams are making money. Revenues are high, all-time high. Player salary dropped for only the fourth time in 50 years last year. So for whatever reason, this CBA has not worked out great for the players.
Well, they want a salary cap. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, the owners want a cap. But they want there's no.
Yeah, they're not going to get any more than this because this has been enough. You know, the players want to go the other way. So I don't think they're going to get that cap. But
is the union, let me ask you, the union at one time was probably as powerful a union as it there ever was, we had in the country. I mean, when you had Donald Fehr, you know, obviously Marvin Miller in the beginning, but then Don Fehr running it, they were a powerful, powerful union, and they had all the leverage that was always seemed to be with the players. Is that not the case anymore, right?
Yeah, I think the MLB is, in the negotiation, they have more lawyers and more firepower, and most of them went to Harvard. And, the union is a smaller group. I think they've made some changes. The last negotiation or the last two negotiations, I think, have gone the owner's way, generally. Yeah. And that includes the draft and the signing of international players. Remember those deals for the international players? We used to, Moncada got $30 million. The team got taxed, but now it's like a team can only spend $5.75 million. So there's no more $30 million deals for these guys. So the teams have benefited greatly, I think, in the last two CBAs.
We're talking to John Heyman. Mets and the Yankees appear to be mostly done, but you never know. There's still so many free agents out there. What do you see, if anything, being the next move the Yankees make?
Well, the Yankees have a few things to do. I think they're still looking at relief. I mean, Ottavino, probably the best guy on the board, is the guy they're talking to. There are a couple other relievers out there. None had a year like he had last year. I think they're sniffing around for a starting pitcher still, probably via trade, but there are a few free agent starters available. And obviously, they're going to trade Sonny Gray at some point. And so they've got some decent stuff to do. And the Mets, I would agree, they've done most of their big work to this point.
Mm. All right, so let's go back to the original question. So where are Machado and Harper winding up in your
mind?
Those
are excellent questions. The Phillies, I do believe, are going to get one of them. They're strong in there for both guys. It feels like they're kind of leaning toward Harper now, so I think the better offer is going to go to Harper.
Okay.
So I would not be surprised if Phillies get Harper. Machado, it could be a mystery team. I just see, to me, the White Sox need to overwhelm someone to get him because they lost 100 games last year. They're probably going to lose for another year, 2 years. You know, these guys get three-year opt-outs. Basically, that's almost like routine now, right? So do you sign with a team that's going to lose for 3 years and have it? What's the value of a three-year opt-out at that point? You have to commit yourself. And Manny's an East Coast guy, so I don't think people saw him going there. So to take an offer that's $100 million less than he was expecting to get, the team that he didn't want to go to, I think it still would be a surprise. I know they've prepared. They got his brother-in-law, Yonder Alonso, his best buddy, John Jay, on the team, but I think it's all about the money. And I think Manny may have made a mistake because at that Cafe Marini, as we talked about dinner with the Yankee brass on December 19th, they were ready to talk turkey. They would have signed him up right there.
For what?
The agent said they were not ready to talk yet. You know, we want to shop around.
What were the Yankees, and maybe they are still, you know, I don't think Troy Tulowitzki, you know, coming to spring training should be the reason you don't sign Manny Machado. What are they willing to pay him, and how many years? Where are they? What's their bar for
him? I think they were going to be in the range of 7 to 8 years, and certainly well more than 175, certainly over 200.
So isn't that where it is? So why aren't they still in it?
Well, since then they've added Tulowitzki, they've added LeMahieu for significant dollars. LeMahieu is going to play some second, some third, some first. You got Tulo, you got Didi. Let's not forget him. He's should be back in July.
John, well, hold on a second. I get Didi, I get LeMahieu, I get Andujar. No Yankee fan wants their Troy Tulowitzki as a reason they may not sign Manny Machado. The guy's 34 years old. He's never been healthy. He hasn't proven yet he can hit outside of Coors Field. That can't be the reason they wouldn't sign Manny Machado. You can give me other reasons, not Troy Tulowitzki.
Well, right now, even if you take him out of the equation, you have a shortstop with Torres and a second baseman with LeMahieu, even if you took out Tulowitzki. So, I mean, it certainly isn't a need for the Yankees. They, at this point, they could fit Harper into the lineup more easily than Machado.
No, I understand. I understand.
So I think they would listen. They haven't closed the door. And maybe Machado will say, you know what, I should have taken that Yankee offer. I'm going to come. Or they didn't make an offer, but I should have talked money with the Yankees. I'll go back there and see if I can get what the White Sox are offering.
But,
and I wouldn't say there's a 0% chance. I mean, but I also think, I'm wondering what the Yankees' enthusiasm level is at this point, because the reaction to it has, I mean, you guys wanted him on the Mets, but right. The reaction publicly has been fairly muted on Machado.
No, I think, John.
My postman stopped me to tell me that no Machado for the Yankees. I don't think he's alone.
No, I agree with you that there are a lot of Yankee fans that don't want Manny Machado. There's a lot of Yankee fans that do, and he's one of them. But I would say informally, without polling, tell me if you agree, Joe, more Yankee fans want Bryce Harper than Manny Machado.
Yes, because it makes more sense with the left-handed hitter.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Left-handed hitter, and at this point, you could fit him in more easily.
Yes.
You know, I think. You know, I really didn't understand why Gardner was brought back in the first place, but I think he's expendable. I mean, short infield, you've got more extra pieces, and DD coming. So, to me, Harper makes more sense than Machado.
Well, but right now, to your point, John, because I agree with you, I wouldn't have brought Brett Gardner back, but right now, unless they're playing Giancarlo Stanton in left field, isn't Brett Gardner their starting left fielder?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's 100. He's worn down. He played well in the first half and not as well in the second half the last couple of years, but so he wouldn't play every day, but right now, yes, I would bet.
See, I'd play Stanton in left field, and for that, you could open up a slot for Manny or Bryce, because if you play Stanton in left field, now you have an open spot at DH. Maybe it's for Andujar. Maybe it is for Bryce Harper. So I think you've got options to fit either guy if you want, as long as you play Giancarlo in left field. And I don't see, John, any reason why they shouldn't play Giancarlo in left field. The guy's a very good athlete. He was an outfielder his entire career in Miami. He wasn't DHing down there. Why DH him most of the time? Why?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, with the DH slot, you could certainly you could make Harper the DH. Or you could. I know that this was thrown out earlier. Nobody's talked about it, but maybe he can play first. They're not certain at first, right? So, to me, he fits better than Machado at this moment. So, but the Yankees, they haven't closed the door on Machado, and we will see. I mean, maybe Machado just says to himself, you know, I'm not getting the 330, 325 I thought I was going to get. Let me go play where I want to play. So maybe you'd have to take a bargain deal, I think, at this point with the Yankees. And I don't blame them, because in their minds, Manny, he wanted to go to New York. I think we all know that. Why didn't he talk to him then? So, you know, I understand. Guys want to look around, but sometimes you pay the price when you do that.
All right, now, you know, Evan had brought up, and we're talking, of course, to the great John Heyman, Evan had brought up that the Phillies, he thinks the Phillies will wind up with Harper, Keuchel, and Kimbrel. You buy that or not?
It's possible. I do see that if they sign one of the two stars, and right now I said I think there's a lean to Harper, rather than the two, which I think is very unlikely at this point, you can use that extra $250 million to easily get two more great players. And if it's Harper, it wouldn't be Pollock at that point, because you've got Harper and McCutcheon. You've got, you know, your outfield's full. So, yes, Kimbrel and Keuchel would be the two. If it's Machado, you could look at Pollock as a guy. But, right, if you sign Harper for, let's say, whatever it is, $300 million, and you had $450 million, you still got $150 million left over for Keuchel and Kimbrel, and that should do it, I think. Keuchel's probably 4 years for 80. Kimbrel's probably 4 years for 70. So that's $150 million. So that would fit. That would be cheaper than the two big stars, but I think in a way it might help the team even more, because they do need another starting pitcher.
Circling back to the one last move piece the Mets may make, if A.J. Pollock is forced to accept a contract that maybe he wouldn't have dreamt of 3 months ago, would the Mets get back into that, or are they really committed? Do you believe Brody's words that they're committed to fitting Jeff McNeil in that outfield. They have Lagares, they have Keon Brox, and they're truly set in the outfield. Or would the avenue be reopened to bring in an A.J. Pollock?
Well, if it's an amazing deal, I would say they'd have to take a look at it. But if it's anything close to what he was looking for, and I think he at one point was looking for 5 or 6 years.
Kane money. Lorenzo Cain.
And he turned down the qualifying offer. So even if he does a one-year deal, he's going to want to get more than the $17.9 million, just like Rundahl got.
Would they do that, though? John, would they go 1 year, $19 million? Let's say that was out there. Would they do that? A lot of money, but it's only 1 year for a guy who's never healthy. And as Joe said,
well, I would do it. I don't know.
Playing for the money.
I think Pollock is terrific. So I would do it.
Would the Mets
do
it? I
doubt it because they've already traded for Broxton and they have Lagares and they're paying him $9 million. And, you know, Lagares gives you just as good defense as Pollock. So they figure they've upgraded the offense dramatically, certainly at catcher and at second base. So. I would say the Mets probably wouldn't do that.
Juan Lagares makes A.J. Pollock look like an Iron Man in center field.
Yeah, oh, God.
I mean, think about that.
The guy's hurt every year. And it's always like diving for a ball in the outfield and, like, he breaks his thumb. I mean, that's always what he does.
They might be a good righty-righty platoon since they each play half the season. Might work. But I think that's a long shot. I don't see that. I'm taking him at his word that they're not going to do that.
All right, so give me a cutoff date when these guys, the two big guys, finally sign. Will they sign by February 1st?
I think that's a good guess. I wouldn't guarantee it. I don't think they'll both be signed by February 1st, although I do think they're kind of waiting on each other in a way, too. The main issue is they haven't gotten near to what they wanted to get, but I think neither one wants to sign an offer that's well below and then see the other person get $100 million more. So I think that's part of the issue here. They're in a competition with each other, the agents and the players. So I think February 1st is probably a good guess. I think somebody asked me what the dates, and I guess January 10th for Machado, February 10th for Harper. Maybe it's February 10th for both of them at this point.
Jeez, unbelievable. Wow.
That is crazy.
Well, John, we've got two pretty appealing football games coming up on Sunday.
Did I lose last week again?
Who'd you pick last? I forgot now.
I think I picked New Orleans.
You did not cover the number.
You I was on a streak too.
They won the game, but you did not cover the number. No.
Man, all right, and they won in the regular season by 40 points.
This was not the regular season.
They
were down 14-0 in that game on Sunday. Do you realize?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
And came back and won. So just
I'll defer to you. You're the expert.
Well, I'm not. I'm an expert on nothing but aggravation. I mean, let's not get delirious.
The same, I think.
What's that?
They're one and the same for you, the NFL and aggravation.
Well, the Jets, yes. That's true.
All right, what are my games? Now I think I'm never going to get back to 500.
All right, you got Kansas City at home against the Patriots.
Laying 3. So Kansas City's favored by 3, John.
Wow. Kansas City's favored by 3.
Patriots are the underdog,
Yeah.
Oh, well, geez. New England's the underdog? Yeah. Okay. Well, I got to go with I can't go with New England, though. I mean, nobody wants to see them win, right?
No,
Patriot fans.
I can't.
All the wonderful people up in New England.
No, yes, I don't want. There are a few wonderful people in New England.
Yeah,
a
few.
There's a couple.
Connecticut, anyway.
Yeah, well.
The other one is New Orleans. Now they're favored by 3.5. That's the latest line against the Los Angeles Rams.
I'm going to go with the Rams and the Kansas City team.
All right. City team. Do you know their team name?
I think
let me look it up. No, it's the Chiefs.
All right, so you have a Ram-Chief Super Bowl. That's your call.
That's it.
Okay.
All right.
And I feel good about that, too.
All right.
Well,
they
had a game earlier this year, and it was insane.
Yeah.
It was like 18 turnovers and 3,000 points scored.
Right. Well, the Chiefs don't have to win that. I mean, the Rams don't have to win for me to win, though, right?
The Rams, they
just
do not.
The
if they
number.
Lose by a field goal, you would win.
That's true. All right. So
I'll
we could still get a St. Chiefs Super Bowl. You're right.
I'll take it.
All right, John. Great talking to you.
All right. Good talk.
See you, John.
John Heyman filling us in on the latest happenings in baseball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.